trying to negotiate traffic here. Good morning, Steve. And listen to the old-timey Little Nash Rambler here, if you remember that one. How's your day going?
Not too bad. Boy, I tell you what, the repeater is quiet here these days, isn't it?
Yeah, I turned it on earlier and listened for several hours when I was messing around with a beverage antenna and some cable, and didn't hear anything there for about an hour.
I don't ever hear anybody get on there anymore. Either that or it's just because I got bad breath.
That's a given, but no, I've had some nice two shows with various people out there. Used to be back home on the repeater. Let me turn this radio off. You would get on the repeater and say N0TR, this QRZ, which is QRZ, and that means you're looking for any calls, but I don't know if these boot camp guys realize that.
Well, I tell you what, bud, it's just like I said, like, you know, the repeater's just dead. And, oh, well, I mean, you know, I never hear Rusty on there. I never hear, well, there's a bunch of them I just don't hear on there anymore.
Rusty's here. He had a gallbladder surgery and was down for quite a little while down at Florida. But he's back now and healing up and whining as usual. You know, my daughter says all men are whiners. So if you heard me, you'll come on here and chew me up.
I hear you. Well, so what are you up to today?
Testing with a beverage antenna. It seemed like it stopped working after my wife stuck a shovel through it.
Yeah, that would definitely affect its ability to receive.
Yeah. And I've been learning things. It just, you know, you always got to start out with your head and your gluteus maximus, and then finally you come to your senses and think, hey, I've done this now for 50 years. I don't know what I'm doing. And I guess it's just laziness. You got to get your good old brain power going. And when I finally did, I come up with a resolution. Of course, you're always looking for the easiest one first instead of the hardest one, which only makes sense. And I kind of thought she had hit it with her little tiller or a shovel, and she says she thinks she got it with a shovel.
That'll definitely do it. I know what you mean about going to the hard thing first. I'll tell you what, I was working on a radio here about 2 weeks ago, and I could trip the repeater with it, but I could not get any audio out. And the fellow we got this radio from had used it for FT8, a few other things, and it was an 857D, and I'm going, you know what? There's got to be some sort of programming position in one of the spots in the radio that you can only transmit from the FT8. So I went through the programming, I went through this, I went through that, I did a factory reset and still could not get no audio out. Hey, stupid, you got a bad mic. I have to remind myself on a regular basis, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, the rule of KISS. That's true, Steve, and I think we've all been there and done that. Well, I was, part of my troubleshooting, I used a RadioShack jumper, which I never trust, and you can't buy any more anyways. But anytime I ever bought any for work or for home, they were for light duty stuff, low voltage, and I always took them apart and resoldered the connections, because inevitably they stake them and they do not solder them, and you'll wind up chasing your rear end around in circles like a dog chasing its tail. And I probably had 15 or 20 jumpers right there in my hands, and I picked out two of them in the whole pile that hadn't been resoldered. And I told Bernice, I said, I bet that's a bad jumper. That just don't read right. And so I had to walk about 100 yards from down there at the end of the property back up. And sure enough, and so I went through all of them, resoldered those two, and all the rest of them were good.
About alligator test leads, that's what I used to call them.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. And you never trust them without going through them first and soldering them. I got a set down there now that I bought just for spares, the real small ones, and I got to go through them and do the same thing, because they stake them, and a lot of times where they stake them at, they'll hit the insulation and not the conductor. But generally speaking, anything that moves, or anything that's dynamic that moves or is loaded or whatever, that's the thing to go for first. And that mic cord is among the worst.
About the only two problems I have had in the last, 4 months. I've got a two-position switch by MFJ, you know, antenna selector switch, and I've got a bunch of pigtails that I run between the switch and the amplifier and the auto tuner, and the only two problems I have had this year was with that switch and the pigtails. The pigtails were just junk, and all of which I got from the wire man. So I've got to that point now where I'll buy a wire from the wire man, but I don't let them do my terminations.
From my experience, I'd have to disagree with you. He does excellent work, and I've never had a problem, but I haven't used a lot of his. But I've seen him work up there at his plant, and I'd have to brag on him and say that he's one of the best I've ever seen. But that can happen, though. I won't say it didn't, Steve. But Bob's got a new system by which he uses a crimping tool, I believe. He told me this a couple years ago. And you can put them on real quick, and they seem to be really a secure method, which by no means do I like the idea of using crimped-on fittings. I don't know. I think the wireman used crimped-on fittings, but he always, the jumpers I bought from him, they were heat shrink. But I'd say 99% of the jumpers I got down in my junk pile there is made by me.
K4VWA. Well, I got three of them laying up the house right now that I'm going to have to re-terminate or try to go in and solder them, because, well, one of them wasn't even soldered. It was just stuck in there. The other one, it was a cold solder joint. And I don't know what's wrong with the third one. It just induces this crackling sound, you know. As temperature expands and contracts, I don't know what it is, because I haven't gone into it yet. But that's three out of about eight or nine that I've bought from them. So that's running 30%. You know, like I said, I trust my work. I'll go ahead and start terminating my own.
Well, I think that's a wise decision, and if they're that bad, that I would really be suspicious of it myself. I don't know how you checked them, but I know that one you had to do visually if you could see that it wasn't terminated right, but a good ohm meter, and I got one that you can just even null out the lead resistance in them to zero. It's a Fluke 87, and you can really check things good. But that being said, I've seen things work on a meter that checked just fine, and then when you loaded them dynamically, they failed. And in fact, I tried to tell my boss that one time on a large radio arm drill press that drilled great big holes, like 4-inch holes and that, in stainless. And there was a slip ring set, three-phase, 480 up at the top. And I told him I'd measured it, which puts 1,000 volts on it, and it measured clear. But I said, it ain't. And I said, it will explode. And he didn't believe me. And he found out the hard way. It exploded. And that was a case there where, by the meter, it checked good, even putting 1,000 volts on it. But when you put 480 three-phase on it, it exploded.
Yep. Well, now, you know the husband and wife that owns the Wireman now, he doesn't do any of those connections anymore. They've got some people they've hired in there. They've got two guys that work part-time doing those connections, and he don't do it anymore.
There you found the problem, because when he done it, they were good, and the last time I was there, he was doing them, so I think you resolved the ambiguity, Steve. You're quite correct. I know Radio Shack jumpers were pieces of crap and would fail on you many, many times. Send zero TR.
Well, during the last 5 years of Radio Shack, I got to where I wouldn't even buy none of their stuff. You know, on those alligator clips and that kind of stuff. I finally started buying some ECG and some Fluke stuff. Matter of fact, boy, I fell in love with the doggone clip that ECG made there for a while, their ECG leads. And that thing, it was a center push, and the little hook clip would extend out, and it had a spring in there. You just clip it right on. Boy, that thing was slick and easy. Oh, it was sweet.
I used to buy a lot of ECG transistors and electronic components and cross-reference to them, if that's the same company. And it was excellent. You got your mask, Bernice? Okay. I'll wait here. And I didn't have a bit of problem. And Fluke, it is expensive, but how much is your life worth, and how much is the misery caused by cheap stuff cause you? I had a buddy that did air conditioning refrigeration. He always bought cheap, and he swore it was good on meters and that. But I'll tell you, the safety measures that Fluke goes to and that, and it's just no comparison.
Yeah. There's no doubt that they build quality equipment, and it's industrial grade for the most part. But doggone, bud, I'm going to tell you something. I can buy two ECG meters for every one Fluke, and they'll last just nearly as long.
Yeah, I guess it depends on what you're working on, Steve. The kind of stuff that I worked on 483 phase, I would rather spend the extra. Well, the company buy the meters, so. But I was the one purchase ordering them and that. And I just had real good luck with them. I had a little cheap meter there for in the shop for checking 110, this and that. A fella come in one day and he said, sell that thing out. And he said, you check 480 with that and it'll blow up in your hands. Well, I don't think it would have, but you know what? I wasn't going to be the one to try it. I got a wife and kids.
Yep. Well, I'm trying to find me a spot to cruise in and grab a bite of lunch. What's good out there today? Anything?
1:40, I got to run over to Publix and pick up some breaded spicy wings. And we're going down to the daughter. She wanted us to stop and pick her something up here at Aldi's. So I told Amy I'll just order her some wings for her dinner because she's working at home off the computer. And pick that up, head down that way. Oh, I love Publix wings. They are delicious. However, yesterday I had Sam's rotisserie chicken dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, and cranberries. So I don't know if them wings are quite that good.
I'm just about to sell Costco and go somewhere else. Is Sam's meats any good? You know, like their steaks and ribeyes and such, sirloins?
I'd say absolutely so. And they're on a par with price because we go to both places. In fact, we went to both places yesterday, only because Bernice wanted to, but she likes Sam's for their repetitiveness, you know, and she really would prefer them. I like Costco's, but I don't care as long as you get what you need. But, yeah, their meats are good. We bought some filet mignon there the other day. It was on sale. And we can take those and cut them in half and make a meal for us. So four of them seems kind of expensive in a package. But whenever you can cut them in half and make eight meals out of it, it cuts the price down considerably. And it's all I can eat anyways.
Well, I'm just more thinking in terms of the quality of the meat, you know. Well, let me tell you what, I shot another deer Monday morning, and man, took him over. I picked up a doe Sunday night and then shot a buck on Monday morning, and I tell you what, I got that doe back, and that's some of the best doggone hamburger you ever put in your mouth. That's good stuff. Had a hamburger last night out of that doe hamburger. It's good.
That I certainly ate it out of my brother-in-law's before, but I can't remember. But there's not a whole lot of difference. It's just good. My son-in-law's up in a tent in Wyoming right now. He got an elk tag this year, and they are very, very hard to get. And he hadn't had one in 4 years, I don't think, or longer. He's gotten two or three elk before. But he passed one yesterday, and now he's beginning to regret it. There's a snowstorm up there. But that'll just make him show up better, I guess.
Where did you say? Wyoming?
Yes, sir. He's up in Wyoming. She's got some kind of a thing on her phone. She sent us a text yesterday and showed exactly where he's at. It said he had 16% charge left on his phone, and he was out there in a tent. And the bad part is there's a no-burn ban up there right now. You can't even have a campfire.
Wow. Well, I bet he's freezing his tuchus off. Sheesh. I'll tell you something else that's really good. If you ever been around Jackson, Wyoming, there's a place called Million Dollar Cowboy Bar, and there's a restaurant downstairs from it. And, man, I had absolutely fresh elk medallions. Oh my gosh, they were so, so good. I mean, it beats beef all day long.
SN0TR. Yeah, Steve, I had T-bone steak out at Bernice's mom's house one time, and her son-in-law had shot an elk, and it was T-bones, and I didn't know the difference. It was good. And Hal, he always gets a deer, and he hunts in Michigan, and he hunts in Wisconsin, which is his mom's home. And then if he gets a tag, he goes to Wyoming. Him and five other guys went up there. three of them are hunters, and two of them are the sons of a hunter. They just wanted to go along. But it's 13 degrees up there. That's a little bit on the chilly side.
Let me just tell you, the most fun I ever had was the morning that I left Yellowstone Lodge, just out of Jackson, on a snowmobile, headed up to the Togedy Pass. Man, let me tell you what, that was fun.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun hunting back in Kansas. We did some crazy thing, hunting ducks, geese, coyotes, you name it. We done it. Rabbits. Rabbits at night on the hood of a car. It was pretty boony out there. But we ate everything we got. But had a lot of fun. Well, how many deer can you take in this state now? And I don't know what I'm allowed. I'm retired. I don't really have an interest in it. And also, where did you take them to get processed? The place over there that my neighbor usually goes, it's a meatpacking place there on Highway 14. They don't do it anymore. They quit a couple years ago.
You must be talking about Vaughn's. And there's a place over halfway between Pauline and the South Carolina School for the Deaf and Blind on Highway 56 called the Rack Shack. And they process mine, and they're not the cheapest, they're not the most expensive, they're just right there in the middle, but they do a good job. And, you know, as long as they do a good job, and I don't feel like I'm getting cheated on the meat, then, hey, I'll keep going back to them. Plus, they're open extended hours, so that makes it real convenient.
Do you have to field dress them before you take them up there?
You show up, they reach in the back of your truck with a lift, hoist it up, weigh it right there on the spot, tag it in, and within about 15 minutes, they've got that animal field dressed and skinned with your tag on it and put in a cooler.
Nice. I'll have to tell Tim about that, and if I need more information, I'll call you. They're not hunting this year. They shot several deer around my backyard there. And in their backyard, they shot a couple down there. And I saw a 300-pound bear down there the other day on the video camera. But I don't care that much for deer. But I'll tell you what, hell, he gets sausage made out of his and that, and it looks like something from the factory. I mean, the labels, everything, it's just beautiful. And they always bring us some at Christmas time. Cheese, and, Wisconsin cheese, and then their sausage, summer sausage, I guess it is. Oh, boy, it makes for a good snack. But Bernice makes the best summer sausage on this earth. And if you don't believe that, you ask ND7J who makes the best summer sausage.
Dad. I talked to Bob on the phone last night.
You got Bernice's recipe, and you got to use a thing called Morton's Quick Salt. So you have to order that off of Amazon, but it's cheap. And I don't know, compared to salt, if it's cheap or not, because salt's so dang cheap. But, it's just... I'll just say it's just fantastic. Throw in some Wisconsin cheese and some of the little sweet gherkin pickles and some crackers and whatnot. Oh, as far uptown as you can get.
What you're talking about, Sue uses it for pickles.
But, yeah. So, I have an honorary hunting license and fishing license, so if I went out to get a deer, which I'm not, can I just go shoot a deer? Or you'd have to go get a tag, wouldn't you, and pay another fee?
No. What you do is you get online and go and file for your 65 senior license for the state of South Carolina. It's a permanent license. For folks 70 and up, I believe it's free. And then then you go and you tell them you want your deer tags, and you're all set and ready to go.
Oh, yeah, I got my license a long time ago, probably 6 years ago or so, was it? Yeah, 65, 72, 7 years ago. I've had that, and my fishing license. I just didn't know if you had to have the tag, if you had to pay a separate fee or not, but it's kind of irrelevant. I just wondered if somebody asked me, because I'm not going to go hunting them anyways. I don't like to shoot things I don't eat, unless they're varmints. But I appreciate that, Steve. And, yeah, the game wardens give me mine. And that's really nice. I had a friend that was totally blind that stepped on a lion mine in Vietnam, and I'd take him to ham fests and things like that. And they, up in Kansas, they would not give him an honorary license or anything else. You know, he was a Purple Heart holder and a Bronze Star and all that stuff. No, Kansas wouldn't do that. He had to go buy a hunting and fishing license. So he just never would.
It's kind of sorry, isn't it? Well, no, as a matter of fact, in South Carolina, I believe you, if you're an active duty personnel, I may be mistaken about this, but I believe if you're active duty personnel and you come into the state, you don't have to have a license.
Correct. Yeah, I've read something to that nature. I don't know if it, you had to be a resident here or not, but I don't think so. I think you're correct. This is just a good state, Steve. And Kansas, with respect to that, was a chicken you know what state. And it's just ridiculous. They're that man give it all, and they'd give none. And they just were real bad about that. And taxes and stuff like that, real bad. But at any rate, he had no eyes, two glass eyes. And he'd be sitting there and rubbing his arm and pull out a piece of shrapnel out of his arms or legs for years. He was pretty blowed up.
For something like that, I just don't know why they couldn't do something like that. That's just ridiculous. But in the meantime, I think I have found what I'm going to do for lunch. I'm pulling up on the way to Hampton here at 290. I believe I'm going to get me some chicken. You said something about some wings, and I'm going to go in here to this little chicken joint and get me some wings. You see what you call us, Tom?
I don't think you can go wrong. I love chicken wings, but I can't take them if they're hot like you youngsters. I like them spicy, but not way too spicy. In public, it just hits it just right. They'll leave a little sting in your mouth, but not like some of them I've ate. And if Bernice don't get out here, I'm going to drive off and leave her. All she was supposed to do is pick up a couple of things for Amy, so I'll go in and check on her. You take care and be safe out there, Steve. This is NZTR, clear.
Always good to talk to you, Tom. Try to behave yourself, and next time I see you, I hope I won't see you with any bruises where Bernice had to straighten you out. NZTR, KN4VWA, clear.
KB4 CPA Mobile.